Hello, it's time for Level Up with Danny, episode 8. Today, I have a guest on my show, but she doesn't get to talk yet because I have some stuff to go over. The topic of today's show is wellness on the run. But on my last show, my guest Donna and I, aka Laugh Lines and Life Goals, had too much to talk about, so I had to cut the end of my show off, so I don't like to forget things, so we're back to it. I wanted to talk about Mel Robbins' new book, the highly acclaimed bestseller, Let Them, which I just started listening to. This book is pure recovery gold. So I'm going to read the back cover for anyone that doesn't have the book. It's so good. It says, if you're struggling to achieve your goals or feel a little happier, the problem isn't you. That's refreshing. The problem is the power you give to other people. I've been saying this my whole life. In this book, you will learn how the words, let them, can set you free. Free from the opinions, drama, and judgment of others. Free from the exhausting cycle of trying to manage everything and everyone around you. There is a better way to live. The let them theory is a proven method that teaches you how to protect your time and energy and focus on what matters to you. You've spent too long chasing approval, managing other people's happiness, and letting their opinions hold you back. Learn how to stop giving your power away and start creating a life where you come first, your dreams, your goals, your happiness. Let Them is a simple tool that millions of people around the world can't stop talking about, including me, because it works. The fastest way to take control of your life is to stop trying to control other people and focus on what you can control, which is yourself. By letting other people live their lives, you finally get to live yours. So I feel like the message in this Let Them book is that, you know, you got to take control of your life. And one of the ways that people do this is if they have an addiction to drugs, to alcohol, or even sex. So whether you're struggling with your mental health or the loss of a loved one, support is key. And I have many friends in recovery and many friends who achieve that recovery through AA and NA. And just as many people just raw dogged it and did it their own way, the hard way. So, if you're in recovery and recovery is for life, I'm proud of you, first of all. But the other day I heard this song by Jelly Roll, and it's called Winning Streak. And I'm going to play the song. It's kind of explicit. There are some bad words in it. But I think you're allowed to do that with music. I mean, that's what I'm telling myself. So I'm going to play Level Up by Jelly Roll and then talk about one more thing, and then I'll introduce you to my in-studio guest. Although she's here right now, so I don't know if you want to say hi.
Hi, I'm Leah.
Hello, Leah. Okay, can I find the song that I want to play? What's it called again? Winning Streak. Oh, yeah. Here we go. So, stand by for Winning Streak. Dong.
Broken glass of a bottle makes a jagged rock bottom. Right now I got two shaky hands, only one way to stop. And I haven't touched a drop in 7 hours, 3 minutes. Hardly sobered up, already wanna quit quitting. Sweating in an old church basement, wishing I was wasted. Never thought I'd say this.
Hello, my name's Jason.
And I've been losing myself, I've been losing my mind. Standing in the rain, just trying to stay dry. I was so ashamed to be in this seat till I met a man who was 20 years clean. He said everybody here's felt the same defeat. Nobody walks through these doors on a winner's streak. Can't look at me cause he's guilty. And I swear that the last couple months that motherfucker tried to kill me. About
the time I saw it coming, it was done with already. It's hard to run from it when it runs in the family. A problem with a thousand more it's causing. Damn, this shit's exhausting. This is why I walked in.
Thanks for letting me share, y'all.
And I've been losing myself, I've been losing my mind. And I've been standing in the rain just trying to stay dry. I was so ashamed to be in this seat till I met a man. 20 years clean. He said everybody here has felt the same defeat. Nobody walks through these doors on a winning streak.
Okay, here's a little interesting tidbit about that song. In my first show, maybe my second show, I literally said, it's like standing in the rain trying to stay dry when I was talking about something else. And those words are in this song. Have I heard that song before? I don't know. Anyways, that's Winning Streak, and I dedicate that to my trainer, Larry, and my best friend, Todd. Okay, additionally, I forgot to do my Masogi, which you're supposed to do that at the beginning of the year, something that you're going to change or work on for the entire year. And I thought long and hard about it. And everyone thinks that I should work on my lateness because I'm late everywhere. But I decided to do something that I really think I need to work on, which is I'm a fixer. So if you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Don't make me do it. I'm sorry, I'm weird. Okay, so anyways, I think I should stop fixing. I mean, if you ask me to fix something, that's a different story. I'm happy to help. But usually, if someone says something, I like swoop in and I like have like five solutions and a way for you to really get through whatever it is. So the other day, I said to my husband, why are we solving problems that no one asked us to solve? Like, it's really stressful to do that. So that's going to be my Masogi. I'm going to try to stop fixing things. I'll let you know. So we have a guest in the studio, my daughter, Leah Stockham. Welcome to the show, Leah.
Hello, everyone.
What do you think about me stopping fixing things?
I think it's going to be a difficult task for you.
Yeah, I think so too. So the reason Leah's here today, the title of today's episode, episode 8, is Wellness on the Run. Because Leah is a private flight attendant, and she flies all around the world. So, Leah, tell us a little bit about your job, and we can dive into the nuts and bolts of your wellness journey.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Leah, once again. So, I work for a private jet charter company, and I never know where I'm going and where I'll end up, which some people might say, that sounds terrible. And honestly, I've learned to adjust to it. And it's one of the best jobs in the world. I've been so many places that I would have never imagined. And I love it.
Yeah. Tell us a few of the cool places you've been to.
Dubai, Argentina, Barcelona, Italy.
The one that I always refer to. Iceland.
Iceland, Ireland.
Yeah.
You name it.
So many times to Paris that she said, I'm sick of Paris. I've been there so many times.
I know. That sounds terrible, but surprisingly, if you go six times over the summer, you can get tired of it.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it. I've only been there once. So anyways, your life sounds pretty hectic. and fast-paced and unpredictable. But when you think about a wellness journey or habit, those words are not part of it. Hectic, fast-paced, unpredictable. So as a young woman in your early 20s, maybe you can talk a little bit about what wellness means to you and how you've created your personal habits to include physical, emotional, and mental support while balancing your work life.
Okay, well, something that also doesn't go together is routine and flight attendant.
Right.
I definitely do not have a routine on the road, and I have been doing this for a year and a half, and I've definitely learned a lot and needed to adjust. So my big rule is no matter where I'm going or what time it is, right when I get to my hotel room, I change into my gym clothes and go to the gym. I don't lay down or relax because I won't get out of bed then. Simple as that.
And you've never stayed at a hotel that didn't have a gym?
I have. So I do take days off. I'm not like every single day. And if I do feel like I need a break, then I'll take one. But yeah.
So tuned in, listening to your body.
Yes.
Super important. Okay. So what do you do when you go to the gym? What's your routine? Like, what is your exercise part of your wellness?
Okay. Well, what I've been doing recently is trying to get 10,000 steps a day. But again, when I'm working, that can be difficult. So I'll usually walk on the treadmill for like 30 minutes to an hour. Sounds like a long time, but just depending on how I'm feeling. Then I usually lift weights. I'll do like legs or upper body and then abs. But I switch it up all the time. And actually the other day I flew San Francisco to New York, and the last thing I wanted to do was go to the gym. And I feel like that's like the most important time to go, is when it's the last thing I want to do.
I mean, what's the payoff?
I mean, yeah, when I felt a lot better after I did go, and I feel like it's just like getting over that hump.
Yeah. First step is always the hardest, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah. But nutrition is also a big factor in my wellness journey as well, and that can be difficult on the road.
I can imagine. Although you're a private flight attendant, it's not like you're working for commercial airlines, so what's like the catering like? You probably have a lot better choices than you would. You're not getting a nut pack and a small can of Coke.
Yeah, so I definitely have access to better food, and I do control like what catering does come onto the plane. So for me, I always try to focus on whole foods, high protein, the best I can. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's sort of what I do. And I know that sometimes when I have no time, like the easiest thing to do is like grab a protein bar, nuts, trail mix, something like that. So I try to stick to like snacks that I like that I think are healthy.
Yeah.
As well, but.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's, you know, food is such an integral part of our wellness. And for me personally, I hate thinking about food. I hate anything about food. I don't want to think about it. I just want somehow food to like come to me and come into my body. So like I could open a cupboard, there could be 15 choices, and I look and go, no. Like I don't want to prepare anything. I don't want to chew any, I don't know. I have disordered eating.
For me, I think it's really easy to make unhealthy food options. Like if you go through an airport, you'll see, I do go through commercial airports quite often depending on where I'm going. So it's not all private, like I do have to airline. It's all like Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, easy, quick, unhealthy spots. And I'm not gonna say I'm perfect. I definitely have gone to McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of times. How do you walk past all that stuff and just go, no, I'm disciplined. That is not for me.
Yeah. So I follow the 80-20 rule. And so I try to eat good 80% of the time, and the other 20 is
a free-for-all
I want.
Okay, well, I think it's really common these days. You see young people who focus on their fitness and emotional stability. I mean, you can see a million videos a day on TikTok and different social medias. But there's an equal number of people who don't know where to begin or don't know how to incorporate health and wellness in an already busy and overwhelming time in your lives. So aside from the stellar example set by your parents, excuse me, maybe you can talk a little bit about how being an athlete your entire life allowed you to transition into being a grown-up and still putting your focus on your physical self without the push from being on a team or being the daughter of an exercise junkie. Not me, your father.
Yeah, so for me growing up, always having the structure of when I'm going to have practice, like working out every day of my life since I was like 5 years old. Honestly, when I was done playing sports, I was over it all.
Yeah.
And you can contest this. Like, I did not go to the gym or do anything for like a couple years. I was genuinely just like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I feel like it took some time for me to then realize like, okay, probably should move my body. And I did see the changes in my body of not working out. And also your mental health, I feel like it does play a role in my mental health. It's kind of a time to just relax and like decompress from the day. So for me now, like finding the routine of when to work out, it kind of just like came with time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's important. It's important for everyone to move. And when you're forced to do something or it's a requirement, that's a different mental feeling about it, obviously, especially when you're young. It's like, well, that's all I've ever known. You know, the coach was like, this is when you practice. So, and the preparation for practice when you're a kid is like, you know, mom makes you a snack and you go to practice and then you come home and you eat dinner or whatever. Everything's organized. When you're on your own and you're making your own decisions, you know, it's more organic. Like, how do I feel today? Maybe I don't feel great. I'll walk to the store. I mean, you were in college for a few years, so, you know, that lifestyle too isn't, I mean, it's competitive more than you just doing what you think your body needs. I mean, you're walking around and everyone's pretty or skinny or athletic or yeah. At least dressing the part.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I feel like for me also, I've had a different outlook on fitness. Like growing up, I was always like, okay, like the only way to be fit is to run 5 miles a day because I played soccer and that's pretty much all I did. Like I didn't work outside of that. I would just run in practice, run in the games. And during the games, I'd run like 5 miles. Obviously stop and go. So then when I was getting back into working out, I was like, okay, I guess like I'll just run.
Right.
Which I hate running. And I know a lot of people that do also hate running. And there's just so many different ways to be physically fit. I feel like especially in like today's day and age, like everyone's doing Pilates, low impact workouts, and you don't have to lift weights or run 10 miles a day to like be fit.
Correct. Yes.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, I love that. I love that for you. And, you know, I think it's a good example for someone who's very busy and still you make time for it because it's a choice that you make.
Yeah. And I do feel like my eating plays the biggest factor in it.
Meaning?
Like eating healthy is very beneficial to your body. If you didn't move and put in good food in your body, you would see a difference, feel a difference. That's just my personal opinion.
Because the whole garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, so.
Whether that's your hair, your skin, your nails, or your butt. So everyone knows that if you're on my show, you have to give me some music that you want to hear. And this daughter doesn't really have a soundtrack to her life. Like my older daughter, music is paramount to how she lives her life. She listens to music all the time, whether she's showering or winding down at the end of the day, music is integral. But Leah, that's not really your vibe.
I mean, I do enjoy music, and I enjoy country music probably the most. But it can be, like, overstimulating for me, honestly. Like, if I'm doing something and I have, like, music blasting, I know Dad would definitely disagree with this, but it's, like, I can't function properly. Or, like, if I'm trying to park my car, like, I'm turning the music down. Like, I gotta focus.
Yeah, no, I'm a little like that, too.
Yeah.
But you did choose a song. You chose High Road by Zach Bryan.
Yes, so, I love Zach Bryan.
I do, too.
I saw him in concert, and it was genuinely life-changing. Like, I cried. So, everyone should go see him. Well, I think he's done touring, actually. So, if you didn't see him, sorry.
I mean, not for life. He's just done...
I don't know. He's
really
going through it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I like him, too, because he likes Bruce Springsteen. And there's a great interview in the Rolling Stone magazine. And it was amazing.
You should have played that song, honestly. I think it's called Sandpaper.
I think so, but that's okay.
So good. Okay. Missed opportunity.
We're going to play High Road by Zach Bryan. So, stand by.
Adderall and white lace bra that makes you fall in love. You left your blue jeans in my pickup truck. New York, this time of year ain't good for me. 'Cause all my friends lack self-control and empathy. All the boys are crawling in some shithole in the wall again. I miss this place more than I missed my home. Everyone is telling me that I need help with therapy, but all I need is to be left alone. She's bound to come back and haunt you forever. There's ghosts in the windows and walls. I'm waiting by the telephone all fucking night for someone that ain't ever gonna call. Oh, oh. Remember telling me I was gonna hit the big time. You died, guess you told God it was true. Remember sitting on your porch, you talking about your own regrets and tossing while the bad things took your brain. It seems the quiet dreams have gotten much too heavy, but I'm home now and I'll hold you through the pain. She's bound to come back and haunt you forever. There's ghosts in the windows and walls. I'm waiting by the telephone all fucking night for someone that ain't ever gonna call. Oh, oh. She's bound to come back and haunt you forever. There's ghosts in the windows and walls. I'm waiting by the telephone all fucking night. Someone that ain't ever gonna call. Adderall and white lace bra that'll make you fall in love. You left your blue jeans in my pickup truck. New York, this time of year ain't good for me. 'Cause all my friends lack self-control and empathy.
Okay, we're really cooking with gas on both of our songs. We're maybe pushing the limits for what's acceptable in radio, but I don't think it counts when it's music because it's
art.
Okay. It's art, yeah. Which is why I used to let my 4-year-old daughter sing my humps because, you know,
good song.
It's a good song.
Love it.
I got scolded for that, but we can talk about that later. Okay, so everybody knows I love this book, Be Here Now, Finding Peace and Joy in the Present Moment. So today's song, oh my gosh, I'm on the radio. Today's reading is called Effort, and I think it dovetails nicely into what we're talking about. So, effort. Making sincere effort in life is fundamental to our health and happiness. Our willingness to make effort determines our life story. Our sense of satisfaction and our connection to meaning, purpose, and contribution in this life. A spider builds its web in the elements with tremendous precision and care, irrespective of the element's propensity to destabilize it or the possibility of human touch to destroy it. Building webs, be they vulnerable and fragile, is part of the spider's life force and design. In a world that can seem challenging and overwhelming, and in which we may perceive our efforts to be feeble or of little consequence, we must continue to choose effort over apathy, contribution and faith in life over inactivity and resignation. In the words of the playwright Tennessee Williams, quote, make voyages, attempt them, there's nothing else, unquote. Indeed, we must endeavor and aim high, believing in the value, joy, and reward of endeavoring itself. This way, we may allow the outcome, destination, or reward of our work to be the icing on our proverbial cake of life, and effort itself our greatest joy. So effort, such an interesting concept. When I was in school, they used to do report cards, and it was like, you know, how much effort? And all my report cards said, talks too much, no effort. But I didn't need to give any effort. School was so easy for me. I never struggled. I was like, let's take a test. Like, I will get an A. But lacking effort has always been kind of what has been in the back of my head. Like, that's how people describe me. My teachers all thought that I gave no effort. My very first job, I worked at Wendy's, and I was the microphone girl. At the front, you would walk in and you would tell me your order, and I would say, call it back to the grill people on the microphone. When there were no customers, apparently, which this was never explained to me, I was supposed to go out and clean tables.
And Danny Stockham cleaning tables?
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
It was Danny Phillips at the time, and I still could not see it happening.
Wow.
So I got fired. I got fired from Wendy's. It's very traumatic. I got fired because they said I didn't have any effort. And I was like, have you people heard me on the microphone?
Wow.
I'm a single cheese, no pickle, no. I mean, I got it down. I was the microphone girl. So I got fired and I went out to the bus stop because I didn't have a driver's license or a car to take the bus home. Like,
you should go to Wendy's after this.
They're like, turn in your hat and your.
And get out.
Apron and hit the road. So, anyways, effort's an issue for me. So, to my daughter. Because effort is the centerpiece of achievement, I think you can probably speak to that as well with regard to the kind of life lessons that you learned in your home growing up about effort and what you get from that, from coaches in sports, and what you tell yourself as you navigate a balance between work life, home life, and your wellness. And that's mental health, physical health, emotional health, and you know what you put in your body, your fuel.
I'm thinking of growing up playing soccer, and I think most of my coaches would also describe me as putting in no effort. When it came to practice, at least, I was probably the worst practice player they've ever seen. I would talk. I would not pay attention.
You would be in soccer jail.
I would have to run laps around the field because I, instead of actually practicing. Because I would talk too much and not pay attention and just half-ass everything. I think I can say that on the radio.
Sure. We've broken all the rules already. Go for it.
But I was always excelled, like, in the games. Like, right. In high-stress scenarios, like, I'm your girl. But not in practice. So I feel like as I grew up, I started... Well, I don't really know. I really didn't put effort in school either. I think my teachers probably say the same thing. Like, yeah. Talks a lot, no effort. But not because I was brilliant like you. Just, I didn't care.
Thank you. Yeah.
But
I mean, effort is self-determined. Like, you decide how much effort you put into things.
Yeah.
And maybe when you're young, it's like you didn't understand that concept. So now you're a grown girl. You live on your own. You've got two dogs you're responsible for, a big job. I mean, you have to put effort into things. Otherwise, I mean, you're living in a slovenly condition. Your dogs are starving. And,
yeah,
you know, your uniform's not ironed.
Yeah. I definitely have to put a lot of effort into my job appearance-wise. And, like, if I'm having a bad day, you know.
No one cares.
No one cares. So I've definitely learned that. And then also having two dogs, you know, putting an effort to walk them every day and spend time with them.
Yeah.
Even when maybe I don't want to, like right now when it's 30 degrees in the morning, like that's the last thing I want to do. But they don't care. They don't care that I'm freezing.
No,
so
it's time for the walk.
It has to be done.
Let's go.
And recently I've been putting more effort into my mental health. My New Year's resolution was to go to therapy, and I had my first session last week, and that is a huge accomplishment for me, because if you would have asked me a couple months ago, I'd have been like, I don't believe that.
No, you literally said, why am I going to go to therapy? The therapists have more problems than I do.
Which could be true.
I mean, I think that makes you able to help people. If you've been through it, then you can help people.
Yeah, potentially. But I did go.
Potentially.
I'm still not totally convinced. I've only gone to one session. I had a great time. I love talking. I got to talk for the whole hour.
About yourself.
About myself. Like, it's my dream. But so far it's been good. And I'm excited for my therapy journey.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important.
And so, I mean, bravo to you. 22 years old, going to therapy. A lot of people wait and they wait and they think it's a luxury or it's stupid or how's it going to help me or I'm in the trenches, who cares?
I was that person.
Yeah, you wanted to just stay there. I'll figure it out on my own. I'll ask my friends. And you're 40 years old and things seem out of control, maybe in a little ways, and you haven't read the book Let Them, so you don't have those tools.
Exactly.
And you know, you wasted 20 years not going to therapy. Therapy is vital.
Yeah.
I think I had my first therapy session when I was like 25. And I went to therapy every other week for like 17 years. I mean, therapy is amazing. I've been to a few different therapists. Sometimes you don't hit a home run on the first one, but gosh, I'm such a fan. And I'm really proud of you. I mean, your other New Year's resolution was to get abs. So.
Oh, yeah. y'all are going to see it. I'm going to have abs. Don't you worry.
And it will be posted.
It will be posted. But also, getting abs is a lot harder than you think. So I'm trying, but
I mean, I've seen people get a spray tan. You can spray tan some abs on.
That might have to happen. But I'm really going to try to lock in.
So. Yeah, lock in. Okay. So we're going to do a little radio business because that's fun. I'm going to read about the current underwriter. We just go, whatever shows up. Today's underwriter is Open Door Insurance Services. KOWS thanks Fawn Necton of Open Door Insurance Services, a family-owned and operated insurance agency combining community sensibility with solutions based on product knowledge and expertise in personal, business, specialty, and nonprofit insurance. They're going to hate the way I read that, but they can be reached at 707-874-2666 or on their website at opendoorins.com. There's a little town hall theater company special event that's up here, so I'm pretty sure they want me to read it. It's coming up. It's called Musique de Paris. That was me in French.
Ooh.
Tribute to the greatest performers of mid-century Paris. Charles Aznavour, Edith Piaf. Oh my gosh, I love her. Yves Montand, Charles Trenet, Jacques Brel, and Lucien Delele. I don't know how to say her name.
Wow.
I know. I'm out there. It's Saturday, February 22nd. VIP, 6 p.m. doors, 6:15 p.m. private sound check. General admission's at 6:30. The doors open at 6:30, and 7 o'clock is when it starts at townhalltheater.com, 3535 School Street in Lafayette, California. That's kind of far away, but I mean, if you love Patty, you're going to want to go to the Town Hall Theater Company special event. You can call them at 925-283-1557. So that's our radio business. We have some other songs to play. I want to talk a little bit about Chinese New Year. It's the year of the snake. And in the Chinese zodiac, it calls on you to shed anything that no longer supports your well-being, including the snakes in the grass. To move with purpose, not pressure. To transform quietly, yet powerfully. To act with intention and respond with precision. And to let your growth speak louder than revenge ever could. Those are some hard hills to climb. So, but I saw that and I was like, ooh, I got to read that on the radio. So everyone knows that on January 19th, for a total of 8 hours pretty much in the middle of the night, TikTok went black in America. It caused a lot of stress.
Me being one of those people.
And I personally was like, this is too much stress. I deleted the app.
Rookie mistake.
I'm so sad. Now I'm locked out of TikTok for life, but I'm okay with it. Anyways, I saw this quote the next morning, and it says, when I was a kid, we didn't have influencers. We watched a singing frog that dated a pig and a grouch that lived in a trash can. It was a much simpler time. That's a reference to Sesame Street. I mean, does your generation even know what Sesame Street is?
Yeah, I remember watching that growing up.
Yeah.
I mean,
frog.
I don't think the generation now, like young kids today, watch it or would know what is it even streaming anymore?
Yeah, I don't know.
Everyone watches TikTok and like, I don't know what I would do without it.
That's where we get all our information from. So now when my daughter shares a TikTok with me, sometimes I can watch it. Like you can touch the video and it'll say, do you want to download TikTok? And you say, not now. And then you can watch the TikTok real quick. And
but I've been telling you, you delete that. You don't get the privilege now of watching TikTok because you didn't want it on your phone, so.
Yeah, okay. Well, you came over last night and showed me all your TikToks anyway, so.
From my phone, yes, I did.
So I'm kind of in this mode right now where I'm listening to like music that I used to love because I'm in this writing class. I'm writing my book. Well, my book's written, but I'm trying to get it published. But they wanted us, there was a little exercise to talk about like music that could pop up in different parts of your life for your memoir. And I started listening to some older music, and there's this song by Bonnie Raitt. It's called I Can't Make You Love Me. I didn't know it was 5 minutes and 31 seconds, which I don't think we have time for that. So, but I was going to play that song.
That's a long song.
It's a long song. It's such a good song. So if you want to hear Bonnie Raitt sing I Can't Make You Love Me, I mean, it's a heartbreaking song, but it's also like a really empowering song. So I'm not going to play that song, but I'll talk a little bit about the other thing that I'm going to do, which, you know, ending my show, I talked last time about what I'm not going to play, but I'm obsessed with Bailey Zimmerman. He's a country singer. And the very first song that I ever heard of his is the song I'm going to play. But I bought some tickets to see him in Reno. I think I'm going in August.
It's September, I thought.
Oh, it's September. Oh, I think you're right. I think it's right around my anniversary.
That's why you guys were going, I thought.
Oh, okay. See, I forget things, so.
Good thing you have me.
Yeah. I'm old. I'm 62. So anyways, the song's called You Don't Want That Smoke, and it takes the concept of a cigarette and masterfully turns it into a metaphor for a toxic person. He, of course, is a guy, so he feminizes it, but it could be, you could change the words up in your head. Anyways, the song's called You Don't Want That Smoke, and if anyone's ever with me and they're like, oh, what song should we play? That's the song I'm going to pick. It's just a fax. So we're going to play it, and then we'll come back and do some end of the show fun stuff.
She's got the look, damn right she owns it. She'll break your heart in this bar and she knows it. She'll ask you for a lie, keeps wanting a pocket. She'll get you just enough to get you walking right outside, end of the night. Watch the sparks fly from a Marlboro light. But you don't want that smoke, the kind that's in her past. She loves you till the filter and leave you in the ash. And take it second hand. And you don't want that smoke. Yeah, she'll get you hooked. Might even call you baby. But she's a one-way ticket that drops you off for crazy. Yeah, she'll take your hand. Might even cloud your head. I've got the lighter, and I'm drunk enough to bum off of her tonight. It won't be the first, it won't be the last. You can judge me all you want, but you can't say that you don't want that smoke.
Stop it. I just love that song so much. Both my parents were smokers, and it's disgusting. But all the little metaphors that he does, I just love it. It's so great. So here at Cal's, we have sponsors and people that are underwriting the shows. And it's really important for us. That's how we're community radio. That's how we stay in business. So if you want to hear about your business on the radio, there's a way to do that on our website. And I have all those links on all of my social media, but we'd love to talk about your business on our show. It would make us so happy. There's another thing that we do, which is we promote other shows. And again, it's random. Like you come in and you do your thing and then you switch the page, so you never know what's going to show up. Well, today, when I came in, it's my show. So I'm going to let Leah read what KOWSFM.com has to say about Level Up with Danny.
Okay. It's my first time reading a program promotion announcement, so bear with me. Tune in at 1 p.m. on Odd Thursdays for Level Up with Danny. Join Danny for a next-level conversation that spans all topics from wellness to current events. The discussion promises to be personal, insightful, and full of energy. Danny also sets the tone for call-ins and discussion with music and more.
Danny's afraid of call-ins.
Yeah, don't call. She won't pick up. I'm not doing that. All coming your way on Odd Thursdays at 1 p.m. on KOWSLP Community Radio in Occidental. Free speech noble.
Free speech noble. Love it. Thank you
Love
so
it.
Much.
So good.
So a little bit about my show. So I'm every other Thursday, which could be the first Thursday of the month, the third, and if there's a fifth. And this month there's a fifth. So I am also on next week. So I'll be 2 weeks in a row, which is really awesome. But it's also stressful because I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to talk about next week? So I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week, but that's going to be February 6th, I believe.
That is, yes, February 6th.
Okay, so I don't have a calendar, but if it's the 6th, it's the 6th.
Pretty sure.
Okay, so we're here close to the end of the show. We have about 15 more minutes, but I wanted to talk about this little thing that I read, which is a tactic to lower your stress like instantly. If you're feeling anxious or you're in high stress and you got to get yourself together to do the next thing, it says you take 2 sharp inhales and 1 long exhale. It's the fastest way to regulate your nervous system. So let's try it. 2 sharp inhales and 1 long exhale. Ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. I don't know.
I feel lightheaded.
So do I. We're both going to pass out.
Don't try this at home.
Do not try this at home. Unless you're a professional.
I'm just kidding. Actually, yeah.
I mean,
breathing's important.
So important. So important.
Everyone should.
I ran out of mouth tape and it was like a panic mode. I was like, how am I going to go to sleep? And I literally took my eye mask and put it over my mouth because I'm so addicted.
It doesn't sound safe.
I'm so addicted to the nose breathing. Like, it's just so good for your oxygenation. I mean, my Oura Ring's like 99% every night because I'm breathing through my nose. Wow. So I got my new supply of tape, and I was all taped up last night. Remember how there was a thing a while ago, I don't know, where they used all these expressions like hurt people.
Yeah.
And realize... Realize. Have you ever heard that one?
Yep.
Yeah. So when was that? That was years ago, right? That kind of came out.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's kind of resurfacing again, maybe because there's a lot of misinformation in the world, or I don't know. It's almost like a panacea for pain. If you realize that someone's hurt and that's why they're hurting you. Or someone who can really see the world clearly has a radar for people that are liars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That just really, I keep seeing that kind of stuff everywhere. And I was like, gosh, it was years ago that you saw that everywhere. And now I feel like I'm seeing those things again. But there's a lot of chaos and high stress and sadness in our current world.
Yeah.
And with social media, the good, the bad part of social media is that you see, you know, people really talk about this. Like, everything's a testimony, whether it's a little video on TikTok or a quote that you saw that you post on your Instagram page, whatever it is. Like, it's always a testimony about what is hitting you. If you're feeling stressed, then those are the things you're going to be attracted to. I mean, isn't that how the algorithm works?
Yeah, but I also feel like social media is also hurting people in this
definitely.
Day and age.
A lot of evidence about that.
Yeah, and not everything that you see online or like that these influencers post about their lives is real.
Yeah.
So that can be taxing on your mental health.
100%.
But.
And there's things that affect you that are in the news, you know, obviously like the plane crash last night, that was so devastating. And it seems like the information around that was a slow trickle. However, I record some shows, TV shows, and then I go and watch them later. And last night the Warriors were playing and it was such an exciting game and I didn't get to watch any of my shows, but they were recording because the Warriors game went to like 10 o'clock and we won. We beat the number one team in the NBA. Go Warriors. But I went to watch, I think it was Chicago Med is the first show.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's Fire first and then Med. But whichever one it was, there was an interruption in the show and it was like breaking news. And had I been watching it live, you know, but literally my news about that crash was delayed. Like, it was midnight East Coast time.
By
the time we saw it. Even though it happened 9 o'clock East Coast time.
Yeah.
Which was 6 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what that means about anything, but that was just interesting.
I feel like the crash was like scary for me as well, because I mean, I'm flying all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't go in the air thinking that I'm not going to come down.
Right.
I hope people don't think that way, but...
But some people do.
Yeah.
Fear of flying is a real thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, just... I feel terrible for everyone that lost their lives and the flight attendants involved.
Yeah, it was 4 crew and 60 passengers.
Yes.
Plus the people that were in the helicopter.
Yes.
Yeah, in that cold water, which I know when you were doing your flight attendant training, you had to do like a quote-unquote water rescue.
Yeah, in a heated pool. Very realistic.
I thought you went to Lake Sonoma.
Oh, that one? Yeah. That one was in cold water.
Yeah.
But I thought you were talking about with my current job.
Oh,
I've done it twice. One was actually in freezing cold water, and one was in a heated pool, so.
Yeah.
But the cold water, yeah, is we had wetsuits on, too, so.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, you're not flying with a wetsuit on.
No, that would be weird. So you mentioned that there was another song that you really liked that maybe I can search it up real quick and we can play it.
Yeah, it's Zach Bryan's new song. I think it's called Blue Jeans Baby.
Blue Jeans Baby. I found it.
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. We'll be able to play it in 1 second. So just in closing, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to make you like spokesperson or inspiration for 22-year-old girls, but if you could just say one thing about how important it is to... take care of your mental, physical, and emotional wellness, no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's become a lot more important to me in the past couple of years, just especially the mental part of it. It can be very beneficial to move your body, put the right food in your body, and also take care of your mental state. And it's honestly changed my life. So I think there's also so many ways to be physically fit, like I did talk about earlier. So, like, I don't run. I probably ran a couple months ago, but that's not fun for me. So I don't do it. So find something that you genuinely enjoy doing.
I mean, it could be a two-hour walk with your dogs.
Literally could be a walk. Like, taking 10,000 steps a day will transform your body. Walking 30 minutes on the treadmill at an incline, you will see changes. Like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Going to yoga, meditating, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
There's just so many different ways to exercise. And, yeah, I think it's important to find something that you like doing and that you will continue to do. I think a good start for some people is workout classes, because it's like you're paying for it. You sign up, and then it's like you prepay before you go. So it's like you might lose money if you don't show up.
I always had the feeling like if you join something, well, first of all, you paid for it. But second of all, it's like I would tell myself that they're expecting me there.
And they are.
And if I don't go, it's not going to be the same for everyone else there. Like when I was in the No Boundaries running group.
Yeah.
It was like, they're expecting me. I've got to show up. And that's good enough if that's what gets you out of the bed. And I just watched a documentary the other day, which I think everyone's seen this, where everything that's in your gut, all of the things that happen there, is replicated in your brain. So those two, you cannot separate those two things. What you think is what you feel. Like how, if your stomach's upset, your brain's probably upset. And exercising and getting your endorphins up and producing serotonin and all those things, those are brain chemicals that also affect the way you feel physically. 100%. So if you do those, if you're out there exercising, but then you go eat McDonald's chicken nuggets or a single cheese from Wendy's, you're probably not going to get the same payoff as if you did garbage in, garbage out, good food in, move your body, create those healthy brain chemicals.
Yes.
Okay, that's your lecture. All right, we're going to play Blue Jean Baby by Zach Bryan. It's a 2-minute song, so we might still be able to come back and chat you up. So here we go. Blue Jean Baby, Zach Bryan.
Two more hours and I'll head downstairs. I got a bad hangover and it's staying here. You were laughing in your coveralls with your bandana tied tight last night. I don't know if it's just me, but I find peace in these evenings. There's a barely lit cigarette burning a hole in your blue jeans. American girls love goodbyes, and I've been getting by on pining for what I need to rest my eyes. It's a long way home and it's 4 in the morning. There's a part of the night when things quiet down. The air gets thick and I can hear the sound of silence. I've been on my own. When the sun was fine, I see a New Year's Eve. Come back to bed before you up and leave. There's a barely lit cigarette burning a hole in your blue jeans. American girls love goodbyes, and I've been getting by. Rest my eyes. It's a long way home and it's 4 in the morning. It's a long way home and it's 4 in the morning. Give me 2 more hours and I'll head downstairs. I got a bad hangover and it's staying here. You were laughing in your coveralls with your bandana pulled tight last night.
It's so interesting. He has a lot of similarities to Bruce Springsteen.
I really agree with that.
I really like him, too.
That song just made me think about my dry January.
Yes.
And I might be breaking dry January tonight, everyone. But it's been a good month. It's been a good run. but talking about that related to fitness, I was talking to you about this the other day. I think this is true. Don't take my word for it. I saw it online. but I read this thing about alcohol and fitness and how when you drink and you work out the next day, you might feel like you look better because you're dehydrated. So, like, your body is maybe you're looking a little skinnier. Your muscles are showing a little bit more. But that your body cannot burn fat effectively for 48 hours after you drink alcohol. That's not stopping me, but yeah. It's something to take into consideration. And
I'm 504 days without alcohol.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Awesome. I honestly have been sleeping better. I feel better. No crazy hangovers.
Yeah, well, the hangovers can be
those are brutal.
No doing splits in the bathroom.
Yeah.
None of that.
Calling me out. But one thing I do when I go to the gym is stretch.